Welcome back to the show. President Trump is scheduled to speak around 11 o'clock. We may cut live to that as well. But for us right now, the biggest story in our region is yesterday. Front pages everywhere, particularly around here, that an arrest, three arrests have been made with the accusation of murder, felony murder, as well as kidnapping in the case of Fotis Doulos, but murder nonetheless. Fotis Doulos expected to be able to make bail of $6 million. And the other two defendants, Kent Mawhinney, which is a really interesting aspect to this. This guy is an attorney who was also a close friend of Fotis Doulos, but he was arrested in connection with conspiracy to commit murder. And Michelle Traconis also arrested. Joining us now, Frank Bevilacqua, who has been an associate at DePamphilis and Valerie for the last 12 years. Mr. Bevilacqua has been a criminal defense attorney for the last 18 years. He's a member of many bar associations, including the Federal Court Bar and Supreme Court Bar. He handles white-collar crime matters in federal court, is an assigned counsel for the indigent in the state of Connecticut, co-chair of the Fairfield Criminal Defense Bar, and right now in the middle of preparing for defense of a minor who was accused of murder. He handles basic criminal matters in all of the superior courts throughout the state of Connecticut, and particularly is familiar with our courts here in Stamford and Bridgeport. Frank Bevilacqua, welcome to the show today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So, and Frank, call me Lisa. Don't worry about it. Call me Lisa. We're on the air now. Call me Lisa.
Okay, Lisa. Thank you.
All right. So, Frank, I want to ask you a small picture before we get to the big one, because a few people have asked me this. Why is it that the arraignment occurred in Bridgeport yesterday as opposed to Stamford?
Well, he was arrested by the state police, and that's where their barracks are. So they arraigned him in their local. They booked him there, fingerprinted him there, held him probably there before they brought him over to BCC. The same with Michelle. She was probably booked there and then taken over to Niantic prior to being brought down to Stamford. So it was just a location situation. And it was also the Detective John Kimball, who is a state police, and he was the drafter of the warrant for all intents and purposes. That's his location. That's his precinct, if you would say, or the barracks where he works from. So that's why it makes sense that they brought him to Bridgeport.
And then you say BCC, is that a Bridgeport Correctional,
Center?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a jail.
Now, as far as we know, are all three in jail?
I don't know about the attorney. I believe Michelle and Doulos is being held because the bond, according to the way I read the warrant, needed to be posted after arraignment in Stamford, and it was a $6 million temporary. Unless they posted that bond last night, I think it would have been foolish to do that because we don't know what the court is going to impose. If it's going to be a cash bond only, if it's going to be a surety bond, and what restrictions, additional restrictions that they may impose on them.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit because you're already using phrases that most of us don't understand. What's the difference between a cash bond and a surety bond?
Well, surety bond is with a bail bondsman. You pay a percentage for that. A cash bond is you post $6 million cash.
Oh, I see. I didn't think that you could that a judge could ever order the entire amount to be in cash. Can they do that if they want to?
If they want to, sure.
Wow, that's rather uncommon, wouldn't it be, for this
kind of thing? It is uncommon, but they can.
But they can. And it's Judge Blowey who signed the arrest warrant, and he has been the person who has really been in charge of the criminal aspects of this case, right?
Correct. That's as far as what I've seen in court. He's been hearing all the motions that have been going back and forth as far as this case is concerned.
And he signed the gag order that's on the way up to the Supreme
Court. Exactly, which is interesting. There's a gag order, but the New Canaan police shout out justice. I mean, that phrase alone taints the jury pool for this community. If and when down the line it goes to trial, I can't see how they can have an impartial jury, any of them.
Any person being in New Canaan or any person being in Fairfield County?
in Fairfield County, but if you read the newspapers or look online and every channel that was there, this is big news in the state of Connecticut. You have a beautiful woman that has disappeared. You have five children. We don't know where they are. You have a person accused of the crime with the mistress or girlfriend.
Well, we know where the children are. Just so you know, we know where the children are. The children are with the grandmother. Yeah.
Exactly. But you have five children that, for all intents and purposes, don't have a mother right now, as far as the world knows.
For sure. So if you were the defense attorney, is the first thing you're doing to move venue, to move the place of trial?
I would have to. I would want to move it. It can't be here in Fairfield. And jury selection will be very long and tedious as far as this is concerned. Also, with these charges, you have an opportunity to ask for a three-judge panel, which would have to hear whatever the allegations are, whatever, and for all intents and purposes, I read the warrant too, circumstantial evidence. From reading the warrant, I did not see in the warrant against Doulos that they found any sort of murder weapon, that they have her body, that they have anything other than allegations and timelines, but it doesn't make it certain that he is the one. Could have been anyone.
Well, okay, we'll get into that in just a bit, but I'm very interested in this three-judge panel first. We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua, an experienced criminal defense attorney. Are you saying in lieu of a jury, a three-judge panel, or are you saying a three-judge panel to hear various motions before the trial?
No, a three-judge panel in lieu of a jury trial for a murder charge such as this, where they would have to listen and hear all the facts, the allegations, the circumstantial evidence, and to tie in each and every element of the offense.
And who gets to make a choice that election? Would that be the defense who could request such a thing?
Correct. The defense would request.
And are you saying that if you were the defense attorney, that might be a way to go because you would trust a three-judge panel perhaps to be more objective than a jury?
Correct. The jury would be too emotional. A three-judge panel would have to listen to everything that is involved here and tie in all the loose ends beyond a reasonable doubt.
So is every murder case in Connecticut a case in which the defendant can elect it to be heard by a three-judge panel versus a jury?
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
I didn't know that. We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua. We're learning stuff. 203-333-9422. All right, so let's get back. So you believe that because there is a missing murder weapon and because there's no body, as far as you're concerned as a criminal defense attorney, you've got a way to defend this particular defendant. You see a way towards defense.
Oh, definitely. And I'm sure Mr. Pattis has many more procedures that he'll approach with this. He's a very intelligent attorney, very astute to criminal defense. He's been doing this a lot longer than I, and I'm sure he's well prepared to defend Mr. Doulos.
Well, let's just talk a little bit about what the arrest warrant does say. It does say, in terms of that circumstantial evidence, that Fotis Doulos drove a Toyota that
Correct.
He then denied driving. So that puts
Correct.
Him in the place of the morning of her disappearance.
Right.
It does say that he then asked for seats to be removed from that Toyota and had it thoroughly washed and cleaned, which was uncharacteristic of him.
Correct.
It does say that he went ahead and dumped certain things, and they did find these altered license plates. In
Correct.
Other words, it looks like a man, and I'm just now not talking as a lawyer, but it looks like somebody who was trying to hide something about being there on that morning.
All right. That is true. The warrant does indicate that. But keep in mind, this warrant was drafted by the detective investigating the allegations. He's not going to put in his warrant. It could have been, or we're not certain. But I didn't see anything within the warrant that confirms it was actually Mr. Doulos that was the operator of the car or was the person that may or may not have dumped an altered license plate. It's just the allegations against him. So everything within this warrant is an allegation. Nothing has been proven as of yet. There's no trial. The state has not presented evidence to prove these allegations. We are so at the infant stage here as far as this matter is concerned.
All right, Frank, can you stay on a little bit? I've got to go to a commercial, and then I'd like to talk with you. We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua, who's an experienced criminal defense attorney in our area, and we're going to be talking now about the case against Kent Mawhinney, who is an attorney admitted to practice here in Connecticut, and what his involvement is alleged to have been in this case, as well as the case against Michelle Traconis. So stick around. We're getting into the Jennifer Dulos case here on the Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600. We'll be right back. And welcome back. As the headlines discuss the arrest and the accusation that Fotis Doulos murdered his wife, Jennifer Doulos, and that he was assisted in a conspiracy by Michelle Traconis as well as his friend Kent Mawhinney, we're chatting now with Frank Bevilacqua, who is an associate with the Pamphilus and Valerie, who's an experienced criminal defense attorney himself right here in Fairfield County, at 203-333-9422. If you have any questions for Frank, if you want to give a comment that will be helpful to this conversation, we will give you this opportunity right now to call in and be part of the conversation at 203-333-9422. Frank, thank you very much for holding, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
So, Frank, let's get into a little bit. I was very surprised that the police chose to accuse Kent Mawhinney, and I was reading the arrest warrant against this guy. Just a little background. This guy, Kent Mawhinney, he's a lawyer. I'm not sure in what capacity, if at all, he ever really represented Fotis, but they were friends. And Kent himself was going through a very acrimonious divorce from his own wife, in which he was accused of real violence, of threatening to hurt her, even possibly to kill her, and also that Fotis became embroiled somehow in this. Now, this is the newspaper headline, that Fotis offered for their Farmington home to be used as a love nest for reconciliation between Kent Mawhinney and his estranged wife. But the wife has been on record as saying that she has been afraid of Kent, that he's a violent person, and that she wanted nothing to do with Fotis's offer. All of that was very weird. And I remember, Frank, that when Jennifer disappeared, I spoke about it at length on this show because I just thought it was weird. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just weird that Fotis, that an attorney client would somehow morph into this kind of weird relationship. But what the police are saying is that Kent Mawhinney founded a gun club someplace in Granby, Connecticut, about 12 years ago. He was no longer a member and then all of a sudden showed interest in becoming a member again, that he was intimately familiar with this acreage of 25 acres or so upstate in Granby, and that this is what the police are saying, that two men, while hunting, came upon what they thought was a weird kind of hole in the ground that looked like it had been specifically dug or created, and that some lime or lime-like substance had been poured into it. When they put the dots together and realized that Jennifer Doulos was missing and that Fotis was friendly with Kent Mawhinney, they called the police. The police came to this acreage. They went to the acreage. They looked at this hole. They said it had been covered up. They couldn't find any physical evidence associating with the body of Jennifer Doulos. Clearly, I think that they thought maybe the body had been there. And it's really on the basis of this, it seems to me, and the fact that Kent Mawhinney apparently, on the morning of Jennifer's disappearance, was at the Farmington house with Fotis Doulos' cell phone, which was very weird and very odd. And even Michelle said, very weird and very odd that he would go anywhere without his cell phone. He didn't typically accidentally forget his cell phone. So between that and that, the police are accusing Kent Mawhinney of being involved in a conspiracy to murder Jennifer Doulos. Now, you're a defense attorney. What at first blush, at first glance, what do you make of those accusations?
Well, they're damaging at best based on the fact that he is an officer of the court, and if he did have any knowledge prior to any act, or an act to happen, he is obligated to report that. You know, there's no attorney-client privilege when somebody says that they're going to kill someone and they have the means of doing it. That's number one. Number two is, I don't know this attorney. I've never met him. I don't know what sort of law he practices. The issue I have with him being arrested is he may not remember calls, or he may have remembered. According to the warrant, he did claim to have some sort of head injury the day after the Miss Jennifer went missing. So that could very well be true. As far as the gun club is concerned, with the lime and the hole and everything else there, that, once again, is circumstantial and it's damaging, but nothing was ever found and nothing was ever done with it. It's not against the law to dig a hole, but obviously it's against the law to hide a body or try to have a body decompose in a grave somewhere, which, if any of them if any of them were involved in this, it would have pointed right back to the two of them if they ever found her body at that location. So to think you would be able to get away with something like that is more than foolish. It's ridiculous.
Well, but you know what? We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua. Somebody got away with something because...
Well, no one's away with anything. They're still being held. They're still accused of it. Obviously, they haven't been convicted, but all arrows are pointing at them.
All arrows right are now. Pointing at them. Can I ask you something in the arrest warrant? The way that the police describe everything, they say the word blood-like stain. They don't say blood stain. What's the difference?
Well, I have issue with that phrase also, blood-like stain. It could be any sort of remnant of with blood DNA on there. So it could have been from a prior injury. It could be the splatter. It could be a spray or like it's more like a sneeze where vapors go out. So it doesn't indicate it's the actual blood. It could be a spray of the blood, but DNA equipment currently is so sophisticated that they could pick up on the slightest touch, the slightest fibers, the slightest.
So let me ask you this: in a typical arrest warrant, have you seen ones where it doesn't say blood-like, but it says blood?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to know. So, in other words, the police have not yet been able to prove that any of these stains are blood.
No, they say blood-like, and I don't understand why they're saying that. It could have been diluted with cleaning material, too, but there could be just enough to pick up her DNA.
You know, there's another aspect to this that I was reading when I was reading Michelle Traconis's arrest warrant. And I know I'm going out on a limb here in crazy, you know, psychodynamic armchair psychoanalysis. But I just wondered as I was reading this whether or not Michelle Traconis was under some kind of weird spell of Fotis Doulos as well, whether or not she too felt very threatened and menaced by him. It was a very... if you read her accounts of everything, she says she was fighting all the time with him. She mentions that one day he said he wished Jennifer would just disappear. I don't know. It sounded like this girl, I don't know.
She may have been in over her head with this relationship. She does have an extremely talented defense attorney.
Andrew Bowman is a good guy, right?
Oh, he's a tremendous attorney. He's and I like to call a go-to guy. He's
really
somebody that would help anybody, any attorney that had a question. So she is very well represented.
He's the one that advised her not to lie, not to keep lying. We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua. We're going to go to a caller, Frank, who has a question for you, Carrie from Stratford. Hi, Carrie. Welcome to the show today.
Hi. Can't the judge hold them without bail?
Seeing that there is a gag order? They want. If they feel that they're a flight risk, of course. course. Or he could raise the bond so high that they couldn't post it.
Communicating with each other.
Well, I'm sorry, Carrie, we didn't hear you. What did you say?
I would think to, you know, hold them without bail because there is a gag order. And you can bet, you know, paychecks.
What do you mean?
They're going to talk to, you know, Dulos and his girlfriend are going to talk to each other.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Jail,
oh, I don't think that they will, Carrie. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be talking to each other. I think that from the very beginning here, Michelle is advised by very good counsel, and they said very publicly that they want nothing to do with FOTUS. Frank, what do you think about that? You think they'll be communicating with each other somehow?
No, not at all. I would be shocked if they would communicate.
Me too.
Especially with Michelle's attorney and with Norm Plattis. They wouldn't even want that. They would not want any indication that there was any collaboration here.
Because it could only work against them.
Right, and not help
them. Yeah, exactly.
But, Carrie, you raise a good point. If the judge wanted to, the judge could definitely deny bail. And, Frank, what are... Thank you, Carrie. I'm going to let you go because there's a lot of background noise in your call. Frank, what are the criteria typically that a judge will look at in setting bail?
Ties to the community. Once again, flight risk. Likelihood of appearing in court. The allegations against them. The strength of the state's case against the defendant. These are just some of the issues. But most importantly, flight risk.
Did you think that $6 million on the face of it seemed like a reasonable amount? What did you think of that figure?
I thought it was high, but it is a murder case. You know, it's funny. It goes towards the likelihood of a person being able to post it. And who would post that bond? Now, the issue also is, according to the documents, Mr. Dulos is not a man of means, according to the documents, the warrant, and what is in the paper and all the allegations of the funds he owes. And the his business, which was failing. And also in the warrant, it indicates that with Jennifer out of the way, he would control his five children's trust accounts, which are a substantial amount of money in it.
But he can't use them for his own defense.
No. But the point is this. Is he capable of posting a $6 million bond?
And it would cost him about $600,000?
Right. And then whoever is going to post it for him or on his behalf would be responsible if he did flee the jurisdiction.
He seems to have friends and relatives in Greece.
That's all well and good, but do they want to get involved in a situation such as this?
No, you're right about that, because so much of what's going on in the civil case and the back and forth between those attorneys, Weinstein and the other one, is where FOTUS is saying, not only don't I owe you any money, Gloria Farber, but you owe me $1 million. So, I mean, it's,
right.
You know. So, and he's living in a home owned by his mother-in-law that is being foreclosed on by her, and he refuses to get out.
Right.
Well, now he's elsewhere. Now he's in jail.
Now he's being held.
You know, it's extraordinary to me when you back away from this particular case. We're chatting with Frank Bevilacqua of DePamphilis and Valerie, who's an experienced criminal defense lawyer. When you back away from this, and assuming, let's just say it's not FOTUS, it's not anybody in particular. This particular crime, assuming it is a murder because the mother has not reappeared and she has never not been with her children her entire life on earth, is a particularly cold-blooded, calculated, premeditated situation, Frank. Even if FOTUS didn't
do it. You're absolutely right. The allegations are it was premeditated.
Premeditated, very calculated, very cold-blooded.
Well thought out.
Absolutely. Ice in your veins. I mean, clearly like an Agatha Christie mystery. You know what I mean? Like something that, you know, something that was not a sudden, passionate manslaughter kind of a thing where somebody lost control of their emotions.
No, not at all. This was, if the allegations are right, this was well thought out.
And being that, it is remarkable standing back from this, that if I'm going to assume that she did not disappear herself, I'm making that assumption for the purposes of this conversation, then I have to say that whoever did disappear her body, boy, oh boy, did they know what they were doing. Because after all these months and after all this looking everywhere under a rock and every other rock, the fact that they can't find her body is really something in this day and age. I didn't think it was that easy to make a body disappear.
Well, human body decomposes rather quickly. So if there was the allegations of the lime and Granby, so it does decompose fast. The only issue is if a skeleton was found, you could still extract DNA from the femur bone to see if it was Miss Dulos. And then you have teeth. And from the photos, she had a beautiful smile, so I'm sure she took well care of her teeth. And any whoever her dentist was could match up her dental records to any skeleton that was found or is found or will be found.
It's just the whole thing sends chills through me, the fact that somebody could have premeditated this like this. It just... Because I don't believe, this is me now, I don't believe the hypothesis that she disappeared herself. It's not credible to me. Is it possible that Fotis didn't do it? Of course, he's entitled to the presumption of innocence. But do I believe that she disappeared herself? No, I do not.
Right. Well, according to the nanny or the caregiver, Jennifer was always with the children. She was always in contact with the
nanny constantly.
And,
that's right.
And that was the first flag of something's not right.
Yeah, the nanny came into the house and she said, "Why are 8 paper towels missing? I just replenished the paper towels yesterday." That was the first thing she noticed. Then when she said she couldn't reach Jennifer, she's like, "That's the only time in 7 years I haven't been able to reach Jennifer, and she hasn't gotten back to me within minutes."
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Pretty scary stuff.
It is terrible. It's a terrible situation. The bottom line is this poor woman is missing, presumed dead.
That's right.
These 5 children have to live with the fact that their mother is not around.
And that their father has been accused of killing their mother. How do you like that? Yeah. That's some legacy, too.
Yeah. It's not good.
Not good.
It's not a good legacy. Even if he's found innocent, there's always that taint.
Frank Bevilacqua, DePamphilis, and Valerie, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate all of your time this morning.
My pleasure. Anytime. You have a good day now.
Thank you. WICC 600, The Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.